Quite a few years ago now, my wife Chris and I had one of those parenting experiences that you wouldn't wish on anybody. It was a Christmas Eve, and we do a series of Christmas Eve candlelight services here. They're very much outreach focused, and I don't know what it's like in your town, but folks in our town love Christmas Eve candlelight services. And so we actually have to have multiple ones just to deal with the folks who are coming. And so it was one of those kind of times where we had finished up our last candlelight service, and we started, of course, by greeting all the guests. And you're spending time with folks who are new and just trying to get to know them and try to interact with them and that sort of thing. But then, as those folks were starting to filter out, then it just became the regular folks from the church. You know what I'm talking about, the people that you know, the people that you know well, the people that you enjoy. And so we're yucking it up and just having a good time and all that sort of thing. And the crowd is dwindling and dwindling and dwindling. And it got to where my wife Chris and me were talking to a couple in the church we've known a long time, Dave and Becky Jones. And Dave and Becky, they're a lot of fun. And as I said, we've known them for a long time and just enjoyed serving one another and that sort of thing. And we're laughing and giggling and all that sort of thing. And then at some point, my wife, Chris, said, "Hey, where's Bethany?" Our daughter, one of our daughters. And about that same time, Becky said, "Hey, where's Rochelle?" Their daughter. And we kind of laughed it off. Well, they're probably running around the church. You know, that's what you get for letting your kid play with the deacon's kid and that sort of thing. But, you know, we were still talking. We were still laughing and messing around. And, you know, it's like, why would we stop that to go look for our kids? And so we just said it kind of off the cuff and didn't pay any attention to it. And then, I don't know, 5 minutes later or so, the crowd's dwindling down more, and we just happened to look around. "Hey, where is Bethany? And where is Rochelle?" And so we just started to gravitate around our building. And you've been around this building. There's a lot of nooks and crannies anyway. And so I'm not saying we were all wound up about it at that point. I'm saying we were still having fun and figuring they were running around the church. You know how preacher's kids are and that sort of thing. And so we were talking a lot and looking a little is sort of the bottom line. And just going from place to place around our building and that sort of thing. And at some point in that tour, it kind of dawned on the ladies, the wives. Wait a minute. It's a holiday night. We've had a lot of visitors in the building. It's getting dark, and we can't find our kids. And all of a sudden, you just kind of have that sinking feeling, and we had to decide what we were going to do. And so we decided, right or wrong, before we would call the police or something, let's just kind of work systematically through the building because, as I said, it's big and maybe we were down there and they were down there and that sort of thing. And so we were going systematically through the building and looking in rooms like this and turning on lights and calling out names and all that sort of thing. And by that time, we were getting pretty wound up about it. We got over to the office area, and it was all dark. I mean, there's no reason for anybody to be over there anyway, but we thought, well, let's be systematic about it. So we're going through the conference rooms and going through the offices and all that sort of thing, and got to my office, and it was dark, but I stuck my head in there and turned on the lights. No, of course, nobody's in there. Turned off the light, shut the door, and as the door is closing, I hear a couple little giggles, and opened the door again. Turned on the light. Sure enough, they were hiding under my desk. They thought it would be funny. And I don't think they were being rebellious. They weren't old enough to be really good and rebellious yet. We taught them that later. But they thought it would be funny to hide from Mom and Dad. And it was just one of those parenting moments where you want to say, "You're safe. We're so glad you're safe. We thought you were hurt. Now we're going to hurt you." And as I said, I don't think they were being rebellious, and it wasn't that big of a deal after everybody settled down and all that sort of thing. But it does illustrate, I think, an important principle, and that is hiding when you're not supposed to be. That's a serious matter. Yeah, there it is. Hiding when you're supposed to, when you're not supposed to be. That is a serious matter. And I wonder if, to some degree, that does not describe the Church of Jesus Christ, where in a lot of ways we're not having much of an impact in many of our communities because we're hiding under the desk. We're hiding when we shouldn't be. And that's what I would like to talk to you about tonight is, what is the relationship between biblical counseling and community-based outreach? With that in mind, open your Bible, if you would, to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, and I'm not suggesting you don't know this passage. You probably could quote this passage. But sometimes I think familiarity can actually harm us when it comes to biblical truth, because we don't always think carefully about the argument, the logic of the text. And I'd like to do a bit of that tonight. I'd like to use it as a means to talk about community-based outreach ministry. Then I'd like to open it up just for questions or comments about things you might be wondering about what we do or why we do it or that sort of thing, or maybe some things that are happening in your ministry that you think might help us in this conversation, et cetera, et cetera. But let's see if we can talk about, another way of thinking about this, I think, is what does biblical counseling look like when it hits the streets? What are the non-traditional forms of biblical counseling? If you have a biblical counseling ministry going, praise God, hopefully it's working well. But what are some of the ways that that can hit the streets and help you penetrate the community in other fashions? That's one of my big passions, honestly. And so that's what we're talking about tonight. Matthew 5, beginning in verse 13, "You are the salt of the earth," Jesus said, "but if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light." Now notice, you are, you are, you are. This is inherently the case. "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house." Now, I would suggest that the argument changes. Because that is inherently true in those verses, then we have a command. Verse 16, "Do something about this. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Now, I'd like us to use that passage to think about three principles that would guide our witness to a lost and dying world. How can this passage from the Sermon on the Mount help us? The first one is this: biblical Christianity, by its very nature, is a public enterprise. And again, I think the flow of thought in this text is very important, and I'm trying to let the outline reflect that. But at least in my way of thinking, verse 14 is speaking about the intrinsic nature of followers of Christ. That you, your life, your message cannot be hidden. It wasn't meant to be hidden. God isn't pleased when it's hidden. It's intrinsically the way it is. It's intrinsically the way God has designed a Christian and has designed a Christian church. You are the light of the world. Paul made the same point when he was speaking to the great church in Philippi. When he said in Philippians 2:15, "I want you to be blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you are shining as lights in the world." So the question that every Christian and every church has to answer would be this: is there evidence that you understand, is there evidence that you're capitalizing on the intrinsically public nature of your faith? Another way of asking that is, do you care about public perception? Do you care about what our churches are known for in our communities? Is community positioning even a valid theological concept in your mind? You could think about it like this. It's a bit adversarial maybe, but let me just throw it out there. If God removed your church from the face of his earth, would your neighbors notice? And would your neighbors care? See, what are you known for in your town? Do you know your neighbors? Do your neighbors know you? The text says you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. By its very nature, biblical Christianity is a public enterprise. Now, admittedly, this has to be balanced. I understand we could go to seed on this in a heartbeat, and I want to be careful about that. We can't be ruled by the fear of man. We're not talking about our reputations from the perspective of worrying about what other people would think about us to the point that we would stop proclaiming certain aspects of the message. The fear of man brings a snare. And so let's be sure we're throwing that buoy on at least one side of this discussion to be sure we don't get off base. And also this, if you studied the Sermon on the Mount, surely we would get way off if we started talking about doing certain things, even for our community or in our community, motivated for personal glory, because that would violate a bunch of other verses in this very context. So we're certainly not talking about that. We're not talking about being ruled by the fear of man. We're not talking about acting for personal glory. But having said that, the point is,